First part of the second part. Question 2. Things in which man's happiness consists. Article 1. Whether man's happiness consists in wealth. Man's good consists in retaining happiness rather than in spreading it. But as Boethius says, wealth shines in giving rather than in hoarding, for the miser is hateful, whereas the generous man is applauded. Therefore, man's happiness does not consist in wealth. It is impossible for man's happiness to consist in wealth, for wealth is twofold, as Aristotle says, namely natural and artificial. Natural wealth is that which serves man as a remedy for his natural wants, such as food, drink, clothing, dwellings, and such like, while artificial wealth is that which is not a direct help to nature, as money, but is invented by the art of man for the convenience of exchange and as a measure of things saleable. Now it is evident that man's happiness cannot consist in natural wealth, for wealth of this kind is sought for the sake of something else, namely as a support of human nature. Consequently, it cannot be man's last end, rather is it ordained to man as to its end. Wherefore, in the order of nature, all such things are below man and made for him, according to Psalm 8, Thou hast subjected all things under his feet. And as to artificial wealth, it is not sought save for the sake of natural wealth, since man would not seek it except because, by its means, he procures for himself the necessaries of life. Consequently, much less can it be considered in the light of the last end. Therefore, it is impossible for happiness, which is the last end of man, to consist in wealth. Article 2. Whether man's happiness consists in honors. Happiness is in the one who is happy, but honor is not in the one honored, but rather in him who honors and who offers deference to the person honored, as Aristotle says. It is impossible for happiness to consist in honor, for honor is given to a man on account of some excellence in him, and consequently it is a sign and attestation of the excellence that is in the person honored. Now a man's excellence is in proportion, especially to his happiness, which is man's perfect good, and to its parts, that is, those goods by which he has a certain share of happiness. And therefore honor can result from happiness, but happiness cannot principally consist therein. Article 3. Whether man's happiness consists in fame or glory. Happiness is man's true good, but it happens that fame or glory is false, for as Boethius says, many owe their renown to the lying reports spread among the people. Can anything be more shameful? For those who receive false fame must needs blush at their own praise. Man's happiness cannot consist in human fame or glory, for glory consists in being well known and praised, as Ambrose says. Now the thing known is related to human knowledge otherwise than to God's knowledge, for human knowledge is caused by the things known, whereas God's knowledge is the cause of the things known. Wherefore the perfection of human good, which is called happiness, cannot be caused by human knowledge, but rather human knowledge of another's happiness proceeds from, and in a fashion is caused by, human happiness itself, either inchoate or perfect. Consequently, man's happiness cannot consist in fame or glory. On the other hand, man's good depends on God's knowledge as its cause, and therefore man's beatitude depends, as on its cause, on the glory which man has with God, according to Psalm 90, I will deliver him, and I will glorify him, I will fill him with length of days, and I will show him my salvation. Furthermore, we must observe that human knowledge often fails, especially in contingent singulars, such as our human acts. For this reason, human glory is frequently deceptive. But since God cannot be deceived, his glory is always true. Hence it is written in 2 Corinthians 10:18, He is approved whom God commendeth. Article 4. Whether man's happiness consists in power. Happiness is the perfect good, but power is most imperfect. For as Boethius says, the power of man cannot relieve the gnawings of care, nor can it avoid the thorny path of anxiety. And further on, think you a man is powerful who is surrounded by attendants, whom he inspires with fear, but whom he fears still more? It is impossible for happiness to consist in power, and this for two reasons. First, because power has the nature of principle, as is stated in the Metaphysics, whereas happiness has the nature of a last end. Secondly, because power has relation to good and evil, whereas happiness is man's proper and perfect good. Wherefore, some happiness might consist in the good use of power, which is by virtue, rather than in power itself. Four general reasons may be given to prove that happiness consists in none of the foregoing external goods. First, because since happiness is man's supreme good, it is incompatible with any evil. Now all the foregoing can be found both in good and evil men. Secondly, because since it is the nature of happiness to satisfy of itself, as Aristotle says in the Ethics, having gained happiness, man cannot lack any needful good. But after acquiring any one of the foregoing, man may still lack many goods that are necessary to him, for instance, wisdom, bodily health, and such like. Thirdly, because since happiness is the perfect good, no evil can accrue to anyone therefrom. This cannot be said of any of the foregoing, for it is written that riches are sometimes kept to the hurt of the owner, Ecclesiastes 5:12, and the same may be said of the other three. Fourthly, because man is ordained to happiness through principles that are in him, since he is ordained thereto naturally. Now the four goods mentioned above are due rather to external causes, and in most cases to fortune, for which reason they are called goods of fortune. Therefore it is evident that happiness nowise consists in any of the foregoing. Article 5. Whether man's happiness consists in any bodily good. Man surpasses all other animals in regard to happiness, but in bodily goods he is surpassed by many animals. For instance, by the elephant in longevity, by the lion in strength, by the stag in fleetness, etc. Therefore man's happiness does not consist in goods of the body. It is impossible for man's happiness to consist in the goods of the body, and this for two reasons. First, because if a thing be ordained to another as to its end, its last end cannot consist in the preservation of its being. Hence a captain does not intend as a last end the preservation of the ship entrusted to him, since a ship is ordained to something else as to its end, namely navigation. Now just as the ship is entrusted to the captain that he may steer its course, so man is given over to his will and reason. Now it is evident that man is ordained to something as his end, since man is not the supreme good. Therefore the last end of man's reason and will cannot be the preservation of man's being. Secondly, because granted that the end of man's will and reason be the preservation of man's being, it could not be said that the end of man is some good of the body. For man's being consists in soul and body. And though the being of the body depends on the soul, yet the being of the human soul depends not on the body. And the very body is for the soul, as matter is for its form, and the instruments for the man that puts them into motion, that by their means he may do his work. Wherefore all goods of the body are ordained to the goods of the soul, as to their end. Consequently, happiness, which is man's last end, cannot consist in goods of the body. Article 7. Whether some good of the soul constitutes man's happiness. St. Augustine says, "That which constitutes the life of happiness is to be loved for its own sake." But man is not to be loved for his own sake, but whatever is in man is to be loved for God's sake. Therefore, happiness consists in no good of the soul. The end is twofold, namely, the thing itself which we desire to attain, and the use, namely, the attainment or possession of that thing. If then we speak of man's last end, it is impossible for man's last end to be the soul itself or something belonging to it, because the soul considered in itself is as something existing in potentiality, for it becomes knowing actually from being potentially knowing, and actually virtuous from being potentially virtuous. Now since potentiality is for the sake of act as for its fulfillment, that which in itself is in potentiality cannot be the last end. Therefore the soul itself cannot be its own last end. In like manner, neither can anything belonging to the soul, whether power, habit, or act, be its last end. For that good which is the last end is the perfect good fulfilling the desire. Now man's appetite, otherwise the will, is for the universal good. And any good inherent to the soul is a participated good, and consequently a portioned good. Therefore none of them can be man's last end. But if we speak of man's last end as to the attainment or possession thereof, or as to any use whatever of the thing itself desired as an end, thus does something of man in respect of his soul belong to his last end, since man attains happiness through his soul. Therefore the thing itself which is desired as end is that which constitutes happiness and makes man happy, but the attainment of this thing is called happiness. Consequently we must say that happiness is something belonging to the soul, but that which constitutes happiness is something outside the soul. Article 8. Whether any created good constitutes man's happiness. St. Augustine says, "As the soul is the life of the body, so God is man's life of happiness, of whom it is written, "Happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Psalm 143:15. It is impossible for any created good to constitute man's happiness, for happiness is the perfect good which lulls the appetite altogether, else it would not be the last end if something yet remained to be desired. Now the object of the will, that is, of man's appetite, is the universal good, just as the object of the intellect is the universal true. Hence it is evident that nothing can lull man's will save the universal good. This is to be found not in any creature, but in God alone, because every creature has goodness by participation. Wherefore God alone can satisfy the will of man, according to the words of Psalm 102, "Who satisfieth thy desire with good things." Therefore God alone constitutes man's happiness.